Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in the east side of Detroit, began working at age 11, delivering the Detroit Times, and opened a furniture store in East Detroit in 1959. He and his wife raised 10 children, and in 1990, saved the annual Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade by donating $200,000. He was inducted into the American Furniture Hall of Fame in 2001. His name, Mr. Van, Art Van Alslander, and we're honored to have him as our guest. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the chairman and CEO of Art Van Furniture, Art Van Alslander. Art, it's an honor to have you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jack.
Can you start by telling us about your childhood and your parents?
Certainly. My childhood was wonderful. My entire child life was wonderful. My mother and dad, Rose and Archie Van Alslander, both Belgium immigrants, were my parents. They were very, very loving parents. They had a tremendous work ethic, and passed that on to my brother Bob and I.
What did your dad do?
My dad initially was a milkman, breadman, and ultimately wound up in the bar business. And he often said to me, son, I'm in this business because I don't know anything else. I don't have an education, so this is a business that I can do and that I can be comfortable in.
What did your mom teach you, and what did your dad teach you?
I think my mother was very loving, not that dad wasn't. Mom was the heart of the home. Mother taught us about morals. She taught us about religion. She taught us about believing in God, that anything was possible with him. Nothing was possible without him. I remember her very clearly saying that to me. I remember her being a tremendous homemaker and just a wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful mother, very loving.
How about your dad?
Dad was a tough Belgian. He was a wonderful father. He, I think, gave us, above all, self-esteem, told us that anything was possible if we worked for it. He really believed very much in education. He also believed in being being self-employed. He, in no uncertain terms, told me that being in business was the ultimate goal that I should have, both Bobby and I.
There's a rumor, Art, that you and Hoot McInerney went to grade school together.
Absolutely. Hoot and I met during the newspaper strike, 20 years ago. And Hoot said, I know you, but you don't know me. I'm Hoot McInerney. And I said, oh, yes, I do. And you sat behind me at St. John Birchman's in the second grade. That's true.
Huh. Your first job, what was it?
My first job was as a newspaper boy. I peddled papers at age 11, and I peddled the Detroit Times, and of course they had contests, so I learned early on to sell, that we had to be out and getting customers and building those paper routes.
How did you get started in the furniture business?
Well, even before that, Jack, Dad took me out, and he said, son, we're going to go look for a job for you today. And I said, okay, Dad, as I always did. And he took me by the hand, and he took me into several stores. But ultimately, we wound up in a haberdashery. And he said, I remember him saying, do you have a job for this young man? And Morris Epstein, who was the father-in-law to the owner, said, no, we're not hiring right now. I remember Dad saying, he'll do anything. He'll clean your floors. He'll keep your cases clean. He'll do anything. And I really don't care what you pay him. And Morris said to him, oh, really? He said, tell me more about that. And Dad says, all I want you to do is teach him how to sell. So I was kind of adopted by Abe and Sarah Seligson at a very young age. I was taught about fabric and colors and so forth. Sarah was unable to have children, so I think she kind of adopted me. And I had a tremendous education by the Seligson family.
Art, can you teach someone how to sell?
I think it can be taught. I think if you have the innate ability, it certainly helps. But we teach at our company, we have a full sales training department, and we do teach. I think if somebody is willing to learn, it certainly is teachable.
Great salespeople come in all sizes, colors, sexes.
Yes.
What do all great salespeople have in common?
I think they have to really understand that they one of the best qualities I think of a salesperson is the ability to listen. You must listen to what the consumer wants and to be able to service them properly. I think the other thing is to want to provide a service to them and make certain that they're going to be happy at the end of the day rather than worrying about a commission or your paycheck or that kind of thing. I think that they have to really know the product. I think they have to be students of whatever they're selling and know the product so that they can educate the consumer, particularly with furniture, because it's a purchase that is so difficult to know and understand.
You started your first furniture store in 59?
1959. I was 29 years old, and I begged, borrowed, and borrowed more to get the thing started. I had five children at the time. And it was, I was a one-man show. I actually bought it, sold it, cleaned the store. My wife would come in on the weekends and help do the bookkeeping with the children after church on Sunday. We weren't open on Sunday in those days. And it was a labor of love. It was really very difficult.
Probably made more money just being by yourself than you do with all these thousands of people today sometimes.
Not necessarily so, but I think I had more fun doing it at that time.
Where did you get your eye, your knack for colors, design, etc.?
I think that that's innate, Jack. I think that to some degree, I think then it was developed by the Seligsons, particularly by Sarah. She was interested in telling me about Charmaine gabs and different wools and the different qualities, the silk shantungs and so forth. And I remember vividly Morris Epstein telling me I knew my stock so well. A customer came in and asked me for a 1533 shirt in a yellow, and I knew my stock, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anything in a yellow shirt." And he said, "Art," he says, I after the customer left, he said, "I suggest that you do that a little different from now on. Even though you know your stock so well, you go to your 1533s, take out all of the shirts. She may want something in pink or gray or white or another color." So that was a learning experience for me.
We're talking to Art Van, who's been building the Art Van Furniture Company for 46 years. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Mr. Van, Art Van Alsland. Art, wherever I see you, you are dressed to the nines. You have a fabulous style about you. Where did you get that?
First of all, thank you very much, Jack. I think I got it in the early days in being in the haberdashery business. I think the fact that you know how to put colors together, how to put fabrics together, and I just enjoy it. It's part of what I enjoy doing.
A lot of young people, listeners out there, say, "Well, I know I should dress better, but I don't have the money. I don't have the discretionary money to dress better, Art. When I get successful, then I'll dress better."
I think money certainly helps, but I don't think it's the essential part of dressing well. I think that if you know how to put colors together and fabrics together, and if your clothes are cleaned and pressed properly, I think that's part of an appearance, a very important part of your appearance.
In today's world, business world, the only constant is change. How do you make sure that your 3,500 plus people are giving the customer what they want servicing the way they want them, etc.
That's a constant battle, Jack. In fact, we have been, for the last 2 years, going through what we call changing the game. We have people come in on a regular basis. We are teaching exactly what people want today. We're asking people to expand whatever their jobs are and to work together. We're trying to develop a culture, which is very easy to learn to lose, that we I think always had in our company. But as you expand out and go through the state and add people, it's difficult to stay with them.
What advice would you give to a young entrepreneur who's starting out and he knows that he or she should hire the best people, people who are too good for them today, but how do they attract those people?
Well, attracting them is difficult. I think that, first of all, you have to have a company that really wants to have those people. I think you have to have a career path that you can show them. I think you need to be open-minded and want them. We certainly want those people. We want, because we feel that the people, not the buildings, not the brick and mortar, are the heartbeat of our company, and our company really is about people.
It's one thing to build a great organization. That's hard to do. It's even harder to keep that organization at the top. Ross Perot once said that it's a funny thing about Americans that when they get successful, very often they quit doing the very thing that made them successful. How do you keep your people hungry?
Peter Drucker says it even in a different way. Peter Drucker says people tend to do the things that made them successful, and that's the very thing that will ensure failure. Things are changing every day. We must change. We must change as people. We must change as business people, and we must stay on top of the game.
Is the American dream still alive, Art?
Absolutely still alive. Absolutely. We are constantly doing research in every one of our stores and every one of our areas to see how we can improve. And the American dream, in my opinion, certainly is alive. It requires ambition and effort. And yes, in my opinion, it is.
One of the joys that you must have with these 3,500 people is to watch young people get better, grow. Can you talk about some of those young people that are really impressing
you? Sure, I can. One of the things that I'm always very, very impressed by and humbled by to some degree is that as I walk into some of my manager meetings where I'll have 120, perhaps 150, I look around the room and I see what, in my opinion, are young people, and yet with tenure of 20 years or 25 years, it started with me in the warehouse or early on the floors, and that have just been with my organization that length of time.
Your business philosophy, 3 points: high quality, low prices, and complete guest services. Why do you call them guest rather than customers?
Because they really are guests. We treat them as guests when they come in. In our opinion, people can go anywhere and spend their money, actually. And we want to treat them as guests. We want to make sure that they feel comfortable in our stores. We want to make sure that we take any apprehension they may have out of the buying equation and treat them as guests.
How can you give high quality and low prices?
I think the fact that we are as large as we are today, we can really demand quality at the very best price possible. We buy in very, very large quantities. We buy a lot of things today in Europe and Asia, of course, and have it made to our design. We have our designers and buyers over there at all times, and we'll have at any given point 200, 300 trailers on the water.
What are your dreams for the business going forward?
Well, as you may or may not know, both of my sons just took over the office of the president, both Gary and Ken, and I'm delighted. We also have my youngest son, David, coming in from Virginia, who was doing a stint with the Royal Furniture Company and developing some things for Oprah and Oprah, opening up some galleries from Oprah and one of her young talents. And so we're delighted to have David join us and just to see the boys and the family really take hold of the business and continue with it.
Many people start a business and they do everything themselves, and then as it grows, they have to learn to delegate and let people make mistakes. And it's very hard for them to do that. How did you learn to do that?
I think I have really been blessed, Jack. I think that for whatever reason, I was able to attract the very best people. And I might add, not always by wages. Honestly, by selling the dream, making dreams possible for them. And I think that's been our method. That's the way we've done it.
You've always stayed in Michigan. Why?
Well, I think because of the central distribution. We knew that if we could service anything that we were able to get out to and without doing an overnight with our tractors and trailers, and that we could really turn the warehouse in large, large quantities, that we could advertise and we could really dominate the furniture market. And that's what we're doing today.
We're talking to Art Fan. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Art Van, who's the chairman and CEO of Art Van Furniture. Art, today it consists of 30 stores and employs over 3,500 associates. Why do you call them associates?
We call them associates because they're far more than salesmen, as they had been called in the past. They're associates of ours. We train them. We treat them as associates. We want them to feel part of the company. We encourage their opinions. We actually want them to be part of our organization.
Every company has a culture. What is the culture of your company?
I think the culture of our company is one of honesty, of treating the customer fairly and making absolutely certain that they are satisfied at all times. I think the culture is very difficult, by the way, to maintain. We do a lot of research, we do a lot of training, we continue training, and the only way I think that's possible is to have our management continue training and executing our culture as we go statewide.
Whenever any of us hire a superstar that doesn't fit the culture, in the long run, it's a fiasco. We saw this a week ago with this Terrell Owens and the Philadelphia Eagles, arguably the greatest wide receiver in football today. Mm-hmm. But they say, go home because you just don't fit with our culture. What do you do when you've hired somebody that's a superstar and doesn't fit the culture?
First of all, we try not to do that, Jack. Secondly, I think there's not an I in the word teamwork, and teamwork is extremely important at Art Van Furniture. So I think we try to avoid that where we can. If indeed we do run into it, why they can't be part of our team.
Every company needs a leader. And you're the leader of Art Van Furniture. What is a leader?
That's a difficult question. I think a leader is someone who tries, who really cares about people, who really wants the very best for the consumer, who wants the best for his organization, who puts all of those things before he does making a sale or making a profit. People have often asked me what my purpose is, and my purpose has never been, making a profit should be, I guess, the answer, but that hasn't been. I've always felt that the profit will come if we service the customer properly and if we take care of our 3,500 employees. They are extremely important to us.
Arguably, that's all you have.
That's correct.
When we come back, we'll ask Art about giving back to the community. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Art Fan, who saved the Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade in 1990 by donating $200,000. Art, you have helped so many causes so many times. Why?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be able to do it, Jack. Secondly, I really think that when you're as fortunate as we have been, that it's your duty and responsibility to pay back. As far as the Thanksgiving Day Parade is concerned, that was kind of a very last-minute decision, and I remember so well hearing that the parade was going to go down, and I thought, well, perhaps I'll be able to call a few friends and we'll be able to put $200,000 together. The net of it is, Kathy Dasani came to me, my marketing gal, and she said, Art, they need a check now or it's all over. It's done. And I decided to do that. I decided that Detroit, one of the greatest, most family-oriented things we had was the parade. Over the years, I remember taking my children to the parade, that we shouldn't lose it. And I decided to write the check.
In 1989... Brother Francis Boylan came to you about Boysville. Can you talk about that?
Sure, I can. I for years and years, my dad was a member of the Knights of Columbus, and I remember him taking me to Boysville when Catholic Central would play Boysville, would play football. And I remember being there, seeing the buildings and seeing what took place there. And when Brother Francis, who is more than an acquaintance, a friend, came to me and told me about the raising that one building, I spoke to Mary Ann and we thought we would rebuild it and enjoy doing it. We built a home for 52 of the men there, 13 in each quadrant.
In 1995, St. Vincent de Paul's warehouse burnt down.
Yes.
And you helped out, but you also went and asked the common man for money.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote letters to everybody that donated any amount of money.
Yes.
And you made a statement, the $3 and the $8 donations are the ones I liked the most. You know that's hurting money. Can you talk about the trip to Honduras?
Sure. Let me start by talking about the St. Vincent de Paul. I received a call from Cardinal Maida, who's a very, very close friend of mine, and he said, Art, I'd like you to chair this thing, building burnt down, and he said, I'd like you to handle this. And I said, oh, Cardinal, I've got so much on my plate, I really can't handle it. And he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd do that, Art, and I'd help you. And of course, I said, yes, Your Eminence, and we proceeded to do it. And we had a lot of fun. He said, by the way, I'll help you. And I said, okay, Your Eminence. And so we did. It was a lot of fun doing it. But I did enjoy the small donations that were given were so important to me, because I knew that was more difficult than many people that were writing $100 and $500 checks.
As research for this show, I looked in Webster's Dictionary for the word salesperson, and I saw a picture of Cardinal Maida under salesperson. So, Honduras, the Honduras trip, how did
yes.
that come about?
Well, the Channel 4 called me and they said, would I be willing to collect merchandise because Honduras, they'd blown the bridges out and the schools were down and all of that kind of thing. And would the Art Van team once again be willing to collect merchandise for Honduras? And I said, of course we would. And he said, I've contacted the Pistons. They were on strike at the time. We can put 10,000 pounds on their plane. And we'd like to send that. Well, we collected 250,000 pounds at Art Van, so we obviously went way over limit. But we did go in. My son Ken and I went into Honduras with Mitch Albom and a lot of the Tom Wilson and a lot of the celebrities from Detroit and delivered the merchandise. But the most important thing, Jack, was we said, how are we going to get this other merchandise to Honduras? And we called on Northwest, and I remember them saying the runway isn't large enough. And I talked to a few of the pilots, and this one young pilot, I'm sorry I don't have his name right here, but he was just under 40 years old. He said, "Mr. Van, I'll get that thing in for you. I'll take it in." Well, we landed with the piston plane, and right behind us, they came in with their far more than 10,000 pounds on a 737, and his shirt was soaked. And I remember him lifting his thumb, and he said, "We've proven we can do it now, right, boss?" And I was thrilled. It brought tears to my eyes when I saw that happen.
What has this giving back done for your people, your 3,500 people?
I think they love it. I'm so pleased and proud of all of our people, the way they respond to any time anything is asked. Just this recent Katrina thing, we collected 53 trailer loads, and that is the 50-footers, the over-the-road trailers, that we collected for Katrina. And our people just respond. They do it oftentimes on their own, with their own time, and they package and prepare it and get it ready, and they're just wonderful, the way they respond.
Year after year, the Jerry Lewis Telethon raises more money from Detroit than all but one or two other cities in the country. This is an extremely giving community. Why is it so, Art?
I'm not sure that I know why, Jack, but I know that it's true. I think the Michiganian people are more giving, they just respond to helping people in need. I've seen it over and over again in my years, and I see it more than any other state that I know of.
Times are tough today. They're going to get tougher before they get better. You're inundated with requests. How do you say no at times?
It's very difficult. It really is difficult. We have a board meeting with many of the members of my family, and we try to prioritize the things that we can and cannot give to. And we try to give to as many things as possible. But that's a difficult thing to do, and it's increased, by the way, tremendously.
With the tough times we have today, and this, our economy has to change from manufacturing to newer technologies, etc. Are you hopeful for the state and its economy going forward?
Extremely. I've really talked to you, Jack, and to several people about, is there anything that we can do, the city leaders, the city business people, to help the economy and help turn things around. I think that if we ever question whether we are automotive dependent, I think each time we go through these dry spells, we're reminded that we are. I feel very sorry for some of the people that are going through this today. My advice to them, if they were related to me, would be find another trade. Get yourself educated as quickly as you can and find another trade, because things are not going to change. I feel terrible about the amount of importing we do. I remember saying to my son, Gary, I feel very badly, when I was in Taiwan some time ago, and he said, "Dad, just go to your closet and take a look at your clothes. Look what's been going on for years and years." And he was right. And the truth of the matter is that we're importing a lot of the merchandise, but every one of the furniture manufacturers have been doing it for many, many years. They use the marketing arm or the names to continue to sell merchandise in the U.S., but most of the furniture, Handredon, Baker, all of them, are being imported from Asia.
When we had dinner recently, you made a statement to me about your biggest competitor. Who is your biggest competitor?
I don't recall.
The casinos.
Oh, the casinos, absolutely. The casinos, I think, have taken more disposable income than I ever imagined. And I think, unfortunately, it's by and large from the people who can least afford it.
Amazing. We're with Art Van, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back with Art Van Elsland. Art, it's 2001, and you decide to make a huge decision in your personal life. Can you share this with us?
Absolutely. And Art is 71 years old at that time. And most people would say, what on earth are you making a change like this for? And I decided that I had been living in denial for some time. We had both in the furniture industry and then doing black ties, doing a lot of fundraisers, doing a lot of things like that, where alcohol is so easily attainable. And where we start out with cocktail parties and that kind of thing. And what I found out, Jack, is that I was using it as a crutch. I was really in denial. I was using it to medicate in many cases. And I found that I was using it earlier in the day in many cases. And I finally decided the only thing to do, the right thing to do, is to go in and have it taken care of. Because anybody that knows anything about alcohol really knows that it's a disease no different than any other disease. And if you treat it properly, if you abstain from drinking, and that's easier said than done, by the way, you can live a very, very normal life. I can assure you that the good Lord selects us to become alcoholic. The way he selects us is no different than selecting us for cancer, for diabetes, or for anything else. I think the opportunities are endless if we indeed admit it.
Very tough to admit it. There's a lot of listeners out there, Art, whose loved ones are saying, you've got a problem, honey. And they say, no, I don't have a problem. What would you say to these people who have not admitted it yet?
I say this to them, being a club member myself, and incidentally very proud. I've been in the club now for 4 years and would have come out, as we call it, before this, but I wanted to make absolutely certain that I could abstain. I think that until we admit that we're absolutely powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable, it's impossible not to drink.
You go to meetings weekly.
I go to meetings on a regular basis. Yes, I do.
Why?
Well, I go to meetings for many reasons. One is, I think, to continue to give me the strength to abstain. I think the other thing is to recognize and to see other people and the struggle that they're having with it. And I think it really kind of becomes, it's very fearful to say, can I go back to that? Now, in my case, Jack, I never lost everything. I didn't lose my business. I didn't lose my home or my family. But there are many, many people that I see that have. And it's very difficult to see.
What would you say to a listener who knows he or she has a problem, but they can't get the courage to go to the first couple meetings? I mean, everybody in town knows you. Mm-hmm. How did you ever go to the first meeting?
Well, first of all, I signed up. I did a lot of research, and I went to a place called Arizona Tucson, which is, I think, in my opinion, one of the finest, but there are several. I've been able to help several people since I have been in the program, and I must say this, that anonymity is one of the things that, of course, the alcoholic believes in. But if I were able to tell you the people that I see there, the positions that they hold, you'd be amazed. And the wonderful lives that they're leading as a result of admitting it. The thing I would say to anyone is that you must go to the mirror, only you, only yourself, and admit that you are powerless over alcohol. And then please go to the first AA meeting that you can get to, and you'll find people are warm. You'll find they meet you with open arms. You'll find that a lot of people are more than willing to help. There's a certain group or club in AA that have an understanding, and one of the things that we all do as club members is we promise to help our fellow man if he's in need of help.
What would you say to a spouse, a family member who's seeing this disease kill the loved one? What advice would you give that spouse or family member?
I think get to the other family members as quickly as possible and do what they call a, I'm forgetting the term, but where you call in a facilitator and you actually have a meeting with them and tell them about all the hurt they've caused, about the things that they've done, and tell them that either they go into AA or you're really, in fact, going to disown them. It has to be tough love. In many cases, that's the only thing that'll get them to admit it and to get into the program.
Now, you've been going for 4 years.
Yes, I have.
Most every week, at least once a week.
Oh, for the first 2.5 years, Jack, I went every single morning at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Why do you keep still going? Do you get something out, or is it more to help others?
Oh, no. I certainly get something out of it every time I go. There's a camaraderie that you sense or feel there. There are people who understand. I think one of the things that we as people often say is, I can't find anybody to understand. I can't find people that understand me and understand my problem. And I think that's characteristic, by the way, of oftentimes of alcoholics. There, I can promise you will find somebody who does understand. They won't tell you things you don't, that just because you want to hear them. They'll be very honest with you. But you will find people that understand. And you also find that the problem with most alcoholics, you'll find that there are some things that are just the same. Very, very similar with so many people.
You shared with me over dinner that when you hear a certain announcement in the airport, you know what it is. Can you share that?
Yes, I forget the name exactly, but when you hear the name, you know somebody's in trouble. Somebody is either, maybe there was a delayed flight or something, and they're going to run to the bar. And because oftentimes the alcoholic uses alcohol as a crutch. And when you hear this name mentioned, and I'm sorry that I should have that name with me today, but you immediately, alcoholics know, and they immediately respond and they head for the bar to see who that might be and who might be in trouble that they can help. Hmm. Oftentimes missing or delaying flights of their own.
The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. Why has it been so effective?
I think that it's an outstanding, the 12 steps are outstanding to live by even if you're not an alcoholic. I also think that the people who are near alcoholics, I would recommend strongly that they get into Al-Anon. I think Al-Anon is a wonderful organization to help them understand the problems of the alcoholic.
Now that you've been sober, totally sober for years.
Yes.
How, you feel healthier, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. No
question. How else has it changed you?
Well, I think you constantly look at things very, very clear. I think that you don't have the peaks and valleys that you did have, perhaps as an alcoholic. I think that you see things in a very, very crystal clear way. I think that you deal with reality in a much different way. And I'm very, very proud. I think that, Jack, I was living a life of denial in many ways and didn't want to step up to the plate and say, I'm an alcoholic. And I think this is true of so many people that I've met.
The tough times we're in, a lot of people are going through major change in their life where they say, you know, my future is awful, I have no future. They go to the bottle, they go to drugs, etc. What would you say to those people who say there is no future?
There is absolutely a future. The drugs and the alcohol will never help. That'll only make it worse. And I think that it's merely a very, very big excuse that you might use. But it certainly is not anything that I would recommend.
What are you the proudest of, Art?
I think my family, the 10 children that I have, even the 3 children that we lost at birth, the 3 children who I think have gotten an automatic pass to heaven because they died at birth. I think they're little angels. I think Ricky and Randy and Douglas have been behind the Van Alstyner family for many years, pushing and pulling and helping all of us.
Art, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing so much.
It's my
pleasure. Our guest next Sunday will be the 1963 Heisman Trophy winner, Roger Staubach. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because anything is possible. Spahn. Believe in yourself.